RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday Morning Val.
And this tweet is unavailable, Beans. And
Helga.
Oh boy, the whole crew's here today.
Today was Helga's award ceremony at school, and some interesting stuff happened. So I think that we'll have Helga here for a moment with us to tell some of the story.
Okay, so I go to the awards. You know, I didn't tell my mom this yet, but my teacher actually didn't let me go at first. She was like, You know which one, Mom.
Was it the CNN teacher?
No.
Okay.
But she didn't let me go. She was like, no, go back in the classroom. And I was like, okay, calm it down. And then she called for us to come outside into the hallway. And so I went out in the hallway. I go and I perform my song. And it was really funny because my ELA teacher gave my chorus teacher a dirty look the whole time. He was, you know, what's it called, Mom?
Speaking? Directing?
Directing. And it was kind of funny because he just, the whole time, it was just like this dirty look. And it was just so funny to me for some reason.
And then.
There's tension between teachers or tension between teachers and students?
All kinds of tension.
There's all kinds of tension.
And where does all the tension come from?
School.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know. Like, her ELA teacher is actually like really awesome, and the chorus teacher is just a little
off.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll speed up the story a little bit. So they do their song, and then it's time for the Fine Arts Awards, and Viv or Helga gets called up for her award, and they announce her for All County Chorus, and me and my husband look at each other because she didn't do All County Chorus.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't do it.
No, and
it's good to get, hey, listen, it's good to get extra praise that maybe you sometimes don't deserve than to get no praise at all.
So the rest of the award ceremony goes on, and then she comes up because you get to leave early if you get an award. And she comes up, and I go running to find out what happened. And I get to the end of the bleachers, and I misjudged the height of like how far down I had to go.
Uh-oh.
I went down all right.
did you completely wipe out? Or
oh,
just
yeah.
Stumble?
Sure did.
Oh, yeah. It was
in front of like what, hundreds?
Yes.
Oh, geez. Did anybody get that on tape?
I don't think so.
I wish.
Somebody did.
My husband was all the way across the gym, and he's like, I heard the thump.
Oh, man. Somebody got it on tape. You know what happened.
You know that show where it's like the puzzle thing where you got to jump across things? That's what she thought it was.
Like the great ninja something.
Ninja warrior course.
Ninja warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the... pictures or didn't happen. I have quite an interesting mark on my knee. We'll put it that way.
Yep.
Well, that's good for you, though, Helga. That means that school's over for the summer, then.
Not yet. Thursday.
3 days.
Oh, okay.
But well, I just wanted Helga to join us for the telling of that ceremonial story.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm happy to have you. Happy to have you, especially... Stories of award ceremonies and end of school is always very, very heartwarming. Great.
For sure.
I still feel that release.
She just left. She's out.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. She's got 3 days until she's free. I'd be out too. I'd be plotting my escape.
Oh, goodness. That was something. Anyway, wow. So. Yeah.
Big thud.
It was stunning. That's a good word for it. I'm almost 40 years old, and I still fall like I'm 18, 17, 16. I'm a klutz.
Well, Lauren and I went to Yankee Stadium on Saturday night, and when we were walking, we just parked the car, and we were going to go pay for the parking ahead of time, and uh, I I almost tripped over, I guess, just a little break in the sidewalk or whatever. And I did my my routine of pretending that I was actually going into a jog. And I love that. I love that because, you know, Lauren saw it all happening. So it was funny. You just play it up. But then again, if you actually just end up on the ground, there's no playing at all.
The worst thing is that I jumped up in the air and said, it was me.
I did it. Well,
oh, goodness. Good. Anyway, so that's how the Monday starts. That's how it starts, an incorrect award. And then, you know, here we are on the Dark to Light podcast with this tweet is unavailable beans. I did it myself for once.
What happened?
Well, there's this thing going on Twitter. I don't know what it is exactly. But like I saw a Charlie Kirk tweet and underneath it, there's like 50 lines of this tweet is unavailable.
I've seen this.
And it's getting worse and worse and worse. It's like, I know I don't have that many people blocked or muted or whatever. So I don't know what's going on, but nobody's searchable anymore. I can't search anybody, literally anybody. Something's wrong.
I don't do very much blocking at all. I have a couple people on mute, but blocking I don't do.
It's strange. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about today, Frank. Are you ready?
I'm following your lead. It was a pretty detached weekend and I needed it. So there might be some things I haven't heard before.
All right, good. So the first story I want to talk about is this doxing by the Daily Beast. Am I telling you this for the first time?
Yeah.
Oh, great. This is going to be good. I'm excited. Okay. So the dude who first posted the supposedly doctored Nancy Pelosi video, which was actually slowed down a little bit.
Doctored. This is so stupid. It's doctored. Everybody has been able to slow down audio in a consumer way. With consumer grade technology since we've been able to buy PCs. I mean, even before that, if you just get the handheld recorders, I mean, what Macaulay Culkin was doing it on the second Home Alone movie. That's how he ordered all the room service.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. Look, I know.
It's doctored with weird doctored. Oh God.
I know. So,
And they breathlessly report it. Their faces on the television, their faces are so serious. Somebody doctored this, and it was seen by millions of people. Oh no!
It's pretty crazy. But what happened next, Frank, is even more crazy. So, you know, the Daily Beast is a leftist rag, so to speak, right? And I mean, they just go after people. That's all that they do. That's all that they really do. And this author, Kevin, what's his name? I got to make sure I get it right. His name is, hold on, my goodness, Poulsen, P-O-U-L-S-E-N. And his first name, I can't believe how unprepared I am right now. For goodness sakes. Anyway, his name is Poulsen, and he wrote an article. He found the guy who was the first person to post that video. Mm-hmm. It was in a group on Facebook that he helps to run. He is an African American Trump supporter who lives in New York, I believe, and he basically was the one who posted the video. First, the Daily Beast article doxed him, basically he had an arrest warrant for something. They doxed that. They actually went to Facebook and Facebook provided them information about this dude. They attacked him like crazy and it went up all over social media. Everybody cheering him on. Thank goodness we found the man who posted this video.
We did it. Yeah. We did it, everybody. We got him. It's like, finding Saddam Hussein buried in a hole somewhere.
Look.
We got him.
Look, this article was violently, it was violent. It wasn't just, it was a violent attack on this dude. And he's a day laborer who does, he's a day laborer who operates a forklift. And they basically just went after the dude and
Never have fun again. You're not allowed to have fun anymore, Tracy.
Look, it got on CNN. That?
Well, yeah, they went after you. Don't you remember they found the person who made the CNN meme?
I know. That's exactly what I'm saying.
The world, the wrestling meme where the CNN got body slammed. That they actually went on a hunt. They went hunting for someone who made a meme on the internet. They are pathetic. It's pathetic people.
Kevin Paulson, and he says, and it gets worse, Frank. Wait until you hear. The story is called "We Found the Guy Behind the Viral Drunk Pelosi Video."
Oh,
His name was posted. They go into, again, his history. They go into where he works, how much money he made, and again, the fact that they worked with Facebook to get the information. So Facebook was basically working with this horrible guy who was who is reporting on this. And worked with him. And Glenn Greenwald comes out and does basically a thread about it. Like, why don't the American people or people in general trust the news anymore? And I shared a clip from CNN where they're like breathlessly talking about this guy. And it's like major mainstream media. This is the power of the entire media against a poor guy in an apartment in Brooklyn or the Bronx. I'm sorry. The worst part. This is going to just, the dude that wrote it, Kevin Paulson, had been previously banned from the internet after serving time on a felony, including espionage against the United States.
Oh.
In 1989, he was indicted on 19 counts of conspiracy, fraud, wiretapping, and money laundering.
See, this guy has always been about having a good time in his life. Why anybody's going after him. Just he's got a long history of just doing whatever the hell he wants. He's living free.
He's living free. And then he wasn't living so free because he was convicted. And part of his conviction, he wasn't allowed on the internet. This guy's a hacker who literally went and hacked into the phone system at a radio station, made it so that nobody could call in during the contest except for him and his friends, timed out the call to be the 102nd caller so he could win a Porsche.
This guy.
Now, this is the guy. This is the guy who doxes the poor Trump supporter from the Bronx who posted a video. He denies creating it. He posted a video on Facebook. And this guy thinks that he has the moral high ground to go after and expose his criminal record. Somebody asked. Go ahead.
You keep going. Somebody asked
Kevin Paulson on Twitter, like, is this you from this Wikipedia page? Is this really your criminal history? And he said, yes.
Oh, well, thank God you turn yourself around so we can go after the people who make memes. Thank God. That's like, I don't even know what the hell that's like. I can't even find the metaphor. You have to like go out and pick the most outrageous supervillain and have. And then go forge an alliance with a supervillain to break up an illegal lemonade stand somewhere. That's what it's like.
Look,
it's like asking Lex Luthor for help in breaking up an illegal third grade lemonade stand on a hot day.
The worst. I mean, seriously, if you think about it, CNN has been the worst. I mean, look at what these people. It's the most irresponsible, horrible conduct. When the media organization, which, as we know, receives money from places that it shouldn't, goes after a private citizen for their quote wrong think. Like, is it? What about the doctored videos of Trump that are floating around out there? Are we going to dox and find the people that created those?
No, because when we see them, it's either if it's done well. I mean, I've seen like maybe one over the last 3 years. I might have seen one, anti-Trump meme or a joke that might have been, you know, as far as, you know, the mechanics of funny goes, it could have been funny, but. You know, for the most part, the left isn't funny. None of this is funny. So they don't know what funny is. They're not in the business of funny. They're maniacs. And then you hear about this stuff And as far as Nancy Pelosi goes and the drunk Nancy Pelosi video, it is a slowed down version of regular Nancy Pelosi.
I know, who still stutters. I know.
I mean, so if you could say, well, they're making her look drunk. It's like, no. They slowed her down. Yeah, it sounds like she's slurring. But look at her face, the contortions. She can't speak. Her jaw is like moving like she's been doing cocaine all weekend. I mean, she can't function. Her face can't physically function anymore. The fact that it was slightly slowed down has nothing to do with what we see coming out of Nancy Pelosi every day. That's what's so hilarious about this doctor. That's really her.
And the word... The worst part of it, in my opinion, is that Kevin Polson says he went looking for the Russian troll.
Oh, no! Thank God we found this Russian troll.
He turned out to be a black Trump supporter. I can't get better.
That's
the story of the 2016 election. Russian trolls are actually minority Trump supporters.
Yeah, well, you want to know something? I just tweeted out something my buddy Brendan sent to me not too long ago. And it is he took a picture of a magazine cover. I can't believe it's real. And it's from a May 26th edition of the New York Times Magazine. And on the front, it is the five hags, the cheesecake eating hags from The View. And they're all sitting there looking all, they're looking ready, fierce. They're going to take on the world. They're just oozing with girl power. And what is the scattered headline say on top of the magazine cover? It says, "How The View became the most important political show in America." You want to talk about Monday morning punchlines? There's one for you.
Oh boy. Wow.
Most important to a political TV show in America, where you can run out. You can run out a hastily delivered headline by Brian Ross, and one of your hosts, Joy Behar, will leave a puddle in her seat without asking questions. There you go. Most important political TV show in America. They have a couple of million stay-at-home moms by the leash around a collar. That's what it all is.
Goodness. Listen. Fake news. It's the fake news.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. Last night, I don't know, you probably didn't see, so I'm not even going to ask you. Sergey Milian posted a tweet, which I found extremely interesting. And I went probing and digging with him to try and figure out what the heck he was trying to do. And he wouldn't give me any answers. He just basically like tiptoed around everything.
Okay.
He said, you know, Sergey Milian was supposedly source E in the dossier.
I thought he was E in something else.
Source E in the dossier. Sergey Milian. What did you think?
I thought he was E and C or E and D or something like that.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't hear that. That could be. I miss things all the time.
I'm sorry. I thought somebody just screamed out for me over here.
Did they?
I thought so. That's why I muted the microphone and...
Do you want me to stop? Do you want me to stop?
Stop for a second. Just once. Okay. So tell me about the actual tweet.
He says this. He says, "Behind the scenes, this concerned citizen called me and informed me I'm hashtag next on the hashtag hit hashtag list. Would you meet him if you knew what happened to Seth Rich?" And it's a print screen of an email that he got on January 25th, 2017 at 10 o'clock that says, it's from Sergey Milian to Bill, whoever Bill is. And he says, "Hi, Bill. Thank you for your email. Your phone call came as a surprise," which doesn't make any sense because he just had thanked him for his email. And then he says, "Am I in immediate danger? Why would you like to meet best Sergey?" And then underneath, there's a signature that says, "Kind regards, Sergey Milian." I would suggest to people that if you're going to be sending an email with an auto signature, you don't also sign it again. It looks really ridiculous. The next tweet is, "During that time, many weird strangers called me, but this individual claimed to be a New York federal prosecutor. So I was all ears when he told me I was next in the list to be assassinated."
What the hell?
And...
Is that a figure of speech, or are we talking about real assassinations here?
I mean, he seems like he meant it, but a couple of my questions to him were like, why now? This was 2 years ago. Why are you posting this now? And then I got like a tiptoe around and like, you know, I'm looking for, and then on his Twitter account, it says that he's looking for whatever journalist wants to win a Pulitzer. He has all the information that you could ever possibly need. And then when I start asking him questions, he goes, I'm not looking for publicity. And I'm like, I sent him a picture of his own tweet looking for publicity. And like, something's just weird here. He goes, yeah. I say, I'm very interested in why you chose to tell us this now over 2 years later. What's going on? He says, soon you might learn. Truth be told, I'm the only American who has been cleared by Mr. Mueller to work with Russia. U.S. companies know I'm safe to deal with. Green light. And then I said, I'm a journalist. You're looking for a journalist. You won't answer questions. Help me help you. And he responds, I'm not looking for publicity. I had plenty. I'm bringing up the facts, what happened in America behind the scenes in the pre and post elections period. He's not bringing up any facts at all. He's talking in circles and leading people on some conspiracy theory rabbit hole.
I don't even know what the theory is.
I mean, nobody does. I asked him, do you know what happened to Seth Rich? Because we don't have any final answers.
Man, I'm sick of, I know that the wheels are turning slowly behind the scenes with whatever is going on in official capacities, but I'm really sick of people in their Twitter accounts about, oh, you wait to see what's coming in Norway. I'm really sick of people.
Sheesh.
Just shut up until you got something to say.
I know. I'm tired of the tomorrow at 7 p.m. Yeah, on my Twitter account. I will release the biggest information ever released ever. And then it's like, buy my book.
Yes. TikTok, everybody. So you just wait. In a couple of weeks, I'll have something to tell you.
I tell people, like, if I'm working on a story, I'll be like, I'm working on a really big story right now. It'll be out later today. Keep your eyes on my Twitter, because a lot of people don't get my posts and I want people to see it. But I'm never I hate to do this to this guy, but we got to talk about it. Did you see like what happened to Luke Rosiak when he released his book?
No.
Oh, goodness. He did all the work into the Iwan brothers and he was coming out with a book on it. But when he tweeted about it, he made it seem like there was like major breaking information in the case and then launched his book. And people were so mad about it. Like, people are done being strung along. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, especially when it comes to important stuff like this. Like,
listen, you know, I gotta say, did you see... You see Lauren Southern's goodbye?
I didn't watch her say. I just saw her say, I'm done. Thank you. You know.
Well, I mean, I watched Borderless last week. Yeah, it really was. I mean, it was a lot of things I could have expected. I didn't think it was going to be one way. I think it was going to be a little bit more of a more complete picture of what's going on and the human toll, because it's the kind of things that I have been just thinking about myself. Those people who are actually on the road there, obviously there's people who just want to, who are trying to get out. I'm trying to think of how this really impacts everybody. The natives in Europe, people who are leaving their homes, those who are in the business of transporting people and all that. But still, the reason why I bring this up is she said goodbye, pretty much saying she just wants to start the toll this takes on a person, this kind of work does, and how she wanted to just start putting a little bit more into her personal life and get out of public life a little bit more. I'll tell you, with all the crazy, just what we were talking about right here with the Twitter and all that, I understand. I really do understand, and it's why I just got to find, me personally, I've been finding little interesting off-topic things to talk about to get really a little bit more human with things, because this is really a rat race.
It's hard.
It's a rat race.
It is. It's hard. And, you know, you just got to, I mean, I just keep plugging along. Like, I after the 2012 election, I kind of gave up for a little while and focused more on like local activism. And, you know, I never really stopped. But I didn't do the same thing anymore. And then here I am. I'm back again. It's like a couple of my friends have quit, in quotes, and then they can't stay away. It's like they want to save the country, so they come back. Let her take some time. Good for her. She's done a lot of work. She's been completely maligned. She's been banned from countries. She's been very effective in her activism. So let her take a break.
And Donald Trump has made his way to the UK. And you saw Sadiq Khan with his his limp-wristed attempts. No, resist. Oh, it's so pathetic. The UK libs are even more pathetic than the American liberals.
For some reason, they think that their approval polls of Trump make any bit of a difference over here. You guys spied on a presidential campaign in the United States of America. I would really shut your trap, okay? Just enough. Nobody cares what you remain people think because you're globalists. There's an uprising going on over there too. We have plenty of UK friends who want freedom and love our president.
Oh, absolutely. It's beautiful. But like I said, the flip side of that coin, we have it in both places.
Look, over the weekend, all you saw was what's happening, especially in LA and cities in, you know, Omar Navarro, who's running again against Maxine Waters, had a video out over the weekend that was just stunning in terms of all the garbage and hypodermic needles and grossness. People are getting typhoid fever in freaking LA. Two police officers came down with it. And where does that come from? Garbage and homelessness and fleas and insects and human. I mean, imagine how many people in that town in L.A. have it.
It's a 14th century in some parts of L.A.
I mean, it's insane. And what's being done? These people are just trying to advance these same policies. They leave because they can't take it. We've talked about this ad nauseum. We don't have to get into it again. They leave because they can't take it anymore. And they end up where? Some other, you know, conservative, liberty-loving place that they then go ahead and take their virus and destroy. Stay away. I don't want you here. I don't want you here. I already have enough of you to deal with.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's like being in a murder mystery and then... you know, you're always running from the murderer, and then at the end you realize you were the murderer.
Like almost like what was that game, what was that movie where at the end she realizes that she was the ghost?
Oh, I don't know.
It was Nicole Kidman, I believe.
I don't remember. I don't know.
I gotta tell you a really awesome story about a really awesome woman. Her name is Anna Timmer. You haven't heard anything? Never mind.
No.
Okay. Hold on a second. Cause I'm queuing this up right now. Anna Timmer emailed me a couple months ago in the beginning of the year on my Subscribestar account. And we had a really nice conversation and she said some really awesome things and I was really excited, to have met her. And then we didn't chat again. I didn't know who she was on Twitter. So over the weekend, Justin Amash had a town hall.
Oh.
And we're going to play Anna.
And I read every single...
at this town hall and what she did that made her now an overnight celebrity. You ready?
I'm ready.
Just listen to this. It's going to make your skin crawl. You're going to be jumping up and down. And I reached out to her as soon as I realized who it was and was like, oh my goodness, girl, you have just... You're everything right now. She's amazing. Listen.
So you called for the nearly unprecedented step of impeachment. And at first you gave no reason. I read every single one of your tweets. And then when you were pressed, you finally gave a reason. And you came up with things like discussions of firings that never happened. Rumors of recusal reversals that never happened. Nobody reversed their recusal. And then made baseless claims about obstruction of justice, which I know you've discussed it before, but you have to have corrupt intent. So you have to prove that Trump knew that he was guilty of a crime and knowingly tried to obstruct justice based on that. Okay? You don't have that. You don't have proof of corrupt intent. You don't.
You further know
that impeachment would tear this country apart if it went through and he was removed from office. It would cause a political upheaval in this country people in this generation have never seen before. Possible civil war. You rest safe. No, yes. You rest safe in the knowledge that that will not happen, that he won't be removed from office. So you get to make the political grandstanding that raises your national profile. You are now a national household name. That's called political capital. And you are hoping to launch your star bigger and brighter than District 3. You just talked about how you did better in District 3 than Trump. Do you want to talk about how the last election you got the least amount of support that you ever have because you haven't supported the MAGA agenda? Now, that's your right to do so, but it's your right to support whatever you want, but you also know that you have no future in this district because of that as a Republican. So you want to go bigger and brighter. And I have my final thing, my question, is why did you talk nothing about the FISA abuses? If you care about the Constitution so much, why didn't you say anything about the year-long violation of the Fourth Amendment rights of Trump and his entire transition team? Every phone call, every email, every personal conversation for a year was spied upon and recorded. And they had no knowledge. And you are laughing. You are laughing about a year-long spying on an entire team of people. Fourth Amendment violated. And you didn't speak about it once. You didn't speak about the FISA abuses, which is currently under investigation. And you...
Before that clip, she had gone on to say that she had volunteered for him hard in 2010 and worked her ass off, knocking on doors, trying to help him get elected. And the room was full of Democrats for Justin Amash. And there was her and a handful of other Republicans in the room.
That was incredible. That was incredible.
And there's so much more to it, but look.
I was gripped. And I wish I could just watch his bloated face.
He was condescending. He was grinning and smirking.
Yeah, I can see it with his cock nose. I can see it in my head. I can see it in my head. I know what that bloated bubble face looks like.
Yeah, she took him to task. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. So that was
it. Hasn't Glenn Beck endorsed him now?
Yes.
Praised him? He's another one. The Cheeto face.
Yeah,
the Cheeto face,
Glenn Beck. Yep.
Yeah, to hell with him. I'm glad for him. I'm glad that he's taken his brand where it's gone, and that the market has rightfully responded.
It's responding all right.
Oh, it's responding all right. selling off, fire sale. Glenn Beck's life's work, fire sale. Come and get it today. 80% off.
The blaze. Freaking Levin hitched his wagon to that noise.
Why did he do that? Now, listen, I still, for example, after Mueller, I always say I have people I go to for certain things. Whenever I need something explained, especially on a legal standpoint, I am there waiting for Levin to show up for that night's episode. When Mueller came out and did his little song and dance last week, I was there waiting for Levin for the podcast to post after I got off the air that night. So I go to him for certain things, and I love him on a history level and all that other stuff too. But when I heard about the acquisition, I thought that, okay, well, listen, maybe it's just a good business move, because I know Conservative Review, CR, was doing well. They got CRTV, and I know that the Blaze is, you know, pretty much bottoming out. When I heard that they actually took on the Blaze's branding, they took it on, and they didn't just acquire their publishing or their writing staff or whatever the hell else, but they actually took on the marketing and the branding of the Blaze. I'm like, why? Just the public perception of CRTV is so much more healthier than the Blaze is.
I know. I don't know.
Just marketing alone, why did you do that to yourself? I know you're friends with Beck, but can you be honest about what the weight of that is in the open market right now?
You know, the thing that sucks too is that I really like a lot of the stuff on the Blaze. I do. So it's weird because I don't like Glenn Beck.
But I would understand if CR, if Conservative Review was still mainly
almost like if Blaze would be a subsidiary.
Yeah, like Blaze would actually supplement the broadcast then.
Uh-huh.
But CRTV had already been established. So it's not like, you know, Conservative Review had all of the publishing down, but they didn't have any kind of video content, and in comes the Blaze, and they complete a puzzle for each other. But it was like you had the redundancy of the broadcast then, because CRTV had I think it still does have Dan Bongino and Steven Crowder and all them. I think what's his name? Another one I really love. I think Andrew Wilkow. I love him. And I just don't understand the redundancy and why they would actually even fiddle with that brand, especially with how all over the place Beck has been.
I don't know. Beck. I want to go through a couple of investigative sort of Spygate-ish stuff, but then I want to get into Ryan Saavedra, who completely took down Kirsten Gillibrand and her town hall. Kirsten Gillibrand is now polling at negative 20%, just to let you know.
Well, because she's a strong woman.
Very strong. So strong that she can't keep any facts right.
I hate her.
Do you want to do that first?
What? Yeah. All right. Yeah, let's get around to New York shame first.
All right, let's do New York shame. She had this Fox News town hall, and she's talking about basically the entire thing is her trying to get out in front of and change her former political posturing and grandstanding about the Second Amendment, because she thought that that's what she would need to win. Here she is.
Let me guess. She's going to say she believes in the Constitution, but she believes in common sense as well.
Oh, no. Not even. It's much worse than that. You ready?
Yep.
More about selling government. And I think the most outrageous thing that's happened to our democracy is how much fear and division and hate has been spread. I think the NRA is the worst organization in this country for doing exactly that. They care more about their profits than the American people. They care more about selling guns to someone on the terror watch list or someone with grave mental illness or someone who has a violent criminal background. And I think the most
outrageous. Does the NRA sell guns?
No.
Are they gun manufacturers? No. They're advocates for people.
They're advocates for the protection of the Second Amendment.
Now, I know I have NRA member friends of mine who are actually disillusioned and don't like what the NRA has done recently. They think that they've gone soft and they've gotten whatever. They're not as absolutist as people would like, but they're representatives of people. They're pretty much like a union, you know?
The NRA is a nonprofit, doesn't sell guns. People opposed banning people who are on the terror watch list because it would strip people of their rights without due process. Violent criminals and grave mentally ill people are already banned from owning guns. There's more. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Second, I will make sure on negative campaigns for special interests across this country. And so I will do three things as president. First, I will make sure we have universal background checks. Second, I will make sure we ban the bump stocks, the large magazines, the assault rifles, the military-style weapons. And on negative campaign.
Facts by Ryan. We're going to call this segment Facts by Ryan. Ryan says, Democratic presidential candidate Kirsten Gillibrand, I will make sure we ban bump stocks, assault rifles, and military-style weapons. Bump stocks are already banned, and assault rifles and military-style weapons were effectively banned in 1987.
Don't tell that to Kirsten, because she's a strong woman.
Very strong. Very strong. So strong, she doesn't need facts or guns.
That's right. She's so strong that she can wave her magic emotional scepter and make the entire kingdom the way that she wants it. Princess, what's her name again? Princess Kirsten with her magical scepter.
And her Nexium dad.
That's it. Princess Kirsten and her magical scepter on the adventure. Oh, we can call it Nexium Adventures with Princess Kirsten.
Let's listen to the next little segment where Chris Wallace decides to punch back a little.
Plans aren't going to I heard the three points you specifically made. Having said that, none of them would have prevented what happened in Virginia Beach. This gentleman, he didn't buy an assault weapon. He had two handguns. He bought them legally. So how do you prevent? I understand that all of your plans aren't going to stop all of them, but is there anything you could have done that would have stopped this terrible incident?
Yeah, stop being beholden to the NRA like President Trump is.
Whoa. What are you talking about? What are you saying?
Yeah.
Non sequitur. Non sequitur.
There's more.
And what would you do that would have prevented this massacre in Virginia? Listen, I'm a fan of snow cones. I really enjoy snow cones. My favorite flavor is the Bahama Mama. Oh, okay. Well, great. We're all set here then.
Here, wait. Let's skip one. Here, this is a good one here.
Not about the NRA is lying to the American people. It is not about the Second Amendment. It is about gun sales. Be very clear. If you are not supporting the Violence Against Women's Act, it's because you want to make sure an abuser who has a restraining order against him can buy a weapon.
Oh my gosh. It is
literally about greed and corruption and making sure the status quo says the same. The NRA is...
God, you...
Is she running against the NRA or what? I mean, is the NRA on the ballot?
She doesn't know what she's doing. She's been practicing this nonsense act in front of her bathroom mirror for many weeks. And she's just so pathetic. She's a pathetic person.
We've got two more because it's that good. I just want to keep going here because this is a democracy. Don't even get me started. Thank goodness I did a video over the weekend where I analyzed the Bill Barr interview. And I was so happy. Our republic, our constitutional republic, over and over again. I'm like, oh, there were a few times he said democracy, but it made sense in context. Oh, and one thing, I made a point to kind of point out that during his interview, he said Rod Rosenstein and I came to the decision about obstruction of justice. Not, you know, I decided that there was no obstruction with the help of Rod Rosenstein. Like the way he said it emphasized Rod Rosenstein's role to a greater degree, I think, on purpose. Right. And I guess I didn't do a very good job of explaining that because I had maybe, oh gosh, goodness knows how many people in the comments, some snarky, some just kind. I got emails of people explaining to me that that's proper grammar and that he's not supposed to say himself first. But like that's the proper grammatical way to say it, Tracy, Rod and I. I'm like, oh my gosh, I know. It was one of those things that like I'm like kicking myself because I do a poor job occasionally of explaining things. This must have been one of those times because if people don't think that I understand that simple grammatical rule, I have a problem. I don't know. Do I come off that ignorant?
No.
That's rhetorical, I guess. I know I don't come off ignorant.
You spend so much of your day, so much of your weeks and months and years talking. It's just,
I know, shut me up already, for God's sakes.
It just happens.
Will you please? Somebody put a muzzle on me. I'm falling off of bleachers. I'm confusing my audience.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
And the NRA, damn it. The NRA.
This is about gun sales. You know what it is? Now, from now on, I hope I have the presence of mind of remembering this, I think that would be the greatest thing, to just drop in there as a reason for anything happening.
It's the NRA.
It doesn't matter. This is about gun sales. We're talking about health care, or there's something wrong with the health care, or there's something wrong with immigration. He's like, no, you know what it is? This is about gun sales.
You know, the funny thing, Frank, is that I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, but given our political climate, I don't expect it is. That Barack Obama was just in some foreign country. I was like Nicaragua or Honduras or something. Please excuse me if I don't have the country correct. And he was talking about how you can buy military assault rifles and machine guns over the internet in the United States of America.
Yeah, you know what that means? You know what military style means? It means scary looking. I'm not a gun expert. I wouldn't even consider myself a novice. Okay, but all I do know about this is military style means, wow, that looks scary. Because I do know that AR-15s have never seen the battlefield ever. You know, they just look scary. And these people are such emotional wizards with their magic scepters that they this is the world that they're creating. There is no such thing available.
There, the other thing that always gets me, and I didn't mean to turn this into a Second Amendment show, but this is poignant. The other thing that gets me is when people call them assault rifles.
Right. Hey, it's assault. Hey, if speech can be assault speech, then I mean, listen, a butter knife can be assault weapon for them.
Look,
that's just what it is.
It's a weapon, and the assault happens when a human being pulls the trigger on it. So it just never made sense to me. Okay, let's listen to it.
Yeah, and the person on the other side, is that does that become a defense weapon?
Never.
The assault
is it ever a defense?
Oh, okay. So it can never be a defense weapon when somebody else uses it in an assault.
No, we don't have the right to defend ourselves.
What's Tracy, all it really comes down to is this. The same people who have taken it upon themselves to deem something a weapon of assault or otherwise are the same people who say that speech is violence. So when you want to take a look at the logical consistency here, you know you're not going to get any. These people are insane controllers of all things. They want to control all things.
Including, all right, next clip. I'm trying to be a good girl, Frank.
I know.
All right.
I promise we'll get back to their questions in a moment, but I want to drill down on this. Your campaign slogan is Brave Wins.
Yep.
But when you were a congresswoman representing a conservative district in upstate New York, you took pretty conservative positions on guns and immigration. Once you became the senator for the entire liberal state of New York, you flipped and took much more liberal positions on guns and immigration. So how is that brave?
It's because I came from a district that was really rural. Second Amendment was important. Hunting was important. My mom, of course, she cooked the Thanksgiving turkey, but she also shot the Thanksgiving turkey. So I understand the importance of having a hunting culture and preserving our Second Amendment rights. And that's why I'm in the best position, Chris, to lead this country into a place where we can have common sense gun reform. I recognize people have different communities. Some communities are rural. Some communities have deep gun violence. Gang violence, where children are dying.
Your children will die.
Yes, children will die because, once again, gang violence. So the best thing to do is to make sure that only the gangs have guns. Because, of course, we know that in the real world, gangs, they go to Dick's Sporting Goods and they register themselves and they all go to the shooting range. They go to the shooting range on the weekend and they're all very, very responsible gun owners. They just happen to be in gangs.
You know, there's one more clip, but she basically starts screaming about the golden rule. But given that you just brought that up, I posted an article over the weekend yesterday. Breitbart Texas wrote it about the New York Times did a piece about locals in Honduras, I believe, who had taken it upon themselves to go after MS-13 on Honduran. Yeah, the New York Times unmasked the intimate personal details of the locals fighting MS-13 there, including photos of their small kids and the locations of their homes on a map. So these people that are coming against MS-13 and taking their community back, the New York Times does a piece and doxes them so that now the MS-13 knows who they are, knows where they are, knows they have kids, sharing pictures of their kids and everything else against the will of the people in Honduras. And not only that, when someone took them to task in an email from that area, the reporter wrote back eight like ha 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 as their response.
Good. So they put somebody on a murder list.
Yeah.
And now ha ha. Well, and because you know the children are not even spared. You know we're talking about, you know, New York City in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s, with the, you know, Italian mob and the five families there, they at least had rules. Women, no women, no children.
Right.
No. These they do not. They will dismember the children.
Yeah, so the New York Times gets a gold star. There's so much to talk about. I still have like four more really important things. This is crazy today. What is going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. There is a deluge of craziness between the Daily, and I was going to give a little bit of an update on this tonight too. I left off on my show like this on Friday night, but there are almost daily headlines about deepfakes. There's daily the Nancy Pelosi thing was that was really just on the outskirts of it. But there is daily stuff about deepfakes. Now I saw one from Metro that came out on Friday as I was preparing for the show about deepfakes and UFOs, because that's the other thing that's constantly coming out.
Yeah, no, isn't it nuts? You're right. Like, if you really look at it, it's you know, I know you all of a sudden deepfake has become like a word that you see everywhere, or words.
And the one on the deep fake, let me see where the hell this one is. Let me see. Interesting history, NSA. Where am I looking at here? AI, deep fakes. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a second here.
It's okay. I'm sure the people in the audience just will grab a drink right now, or they'll finish laughing and brush themselves off.
Well,
ready.
It was from Friday, but pretty much it was just talking about how we got to be careful about these deep fakes because now people are creating fake pedophilia videos.
No, oh boy.
Yeah, now they're actually touching the subject itself.
So that they warmed us up with the normal everyday political mumbo jumbo.
Yep.
And they warmed us up with getting Snapchat filters to turn us into men and women.
They're warming us up where they're showing, these doctored real deepfake videos of Barack Obama saying things he didn't say about Donald Trump, calling him a dipshit or something like that. So you get all these things. Now you're saying that there's – I think they call them Snapchat videos where you can – they're scared that that fake pedophilia videos might be made to frame people. And so you have that. And this is daily. I just went on to Drudge Report just for a second this morning. And what was another thing I saw right there in the middle of it all? Here's another one from Stripes.com. And this is on the outside of the steady flow of information that has been coming out about UFOs from not the blogs of the internet, where that was usually where you have to go for your conversations about otherworldly topics. It's coming from the Washington Post. It's coming from the New York Times. It's coming from military.com.
Does that mean that we're not conspiracy theorists anymore?
No, we're not. No, we're not.
My God, I feel so free.
Yeah, I know. Well, here's the latest headline that I'll probably put aside for tonight. The Navy tracks UFO sightings. Scientists explain what's really going on. So they're trying to ask now that they've told each other. In fact, the Washington Post article from Friday flat out said, where is it? Can you pause that for a second?
Yeah. Hold on. Okay.
Okay. So here's the Washington Post. This is the headline from the Washington Post. It says UFOs exist and everyone needs to adjust to that fact. That is the headline from the Washington Post.
What?
So yeah, so the next thing is phase two, which is asking the question, are we talking intergalactic visitors, interdimensional visitors? Is it a mix of those two things and compartmentalized an off-book government projects that are just starting to make its way into the mainstream? If it is, where the hell did we even get the idea for that technology? Did we reverse engineer it? Does this all come back around to interdimensional play after all? I don't know. But the timing for all of this with how crazy things are getting in D.C. on Capitol Hill is, I don't know.
It's not a mistake. It can't be a mistake. I mean,
No.
Speaking of how crazy things are getting on Capitol Hill, there was a tweet over the weekend that Geraldo posted. If you want to hear a ratio This tweet got 1.4 thousand retweets and like 30,000 comments. Here it is. He says, here's an idea for compromise. The Dems agree to drop all Russiagate-related investigations. If they do, AG Barr agrees to stop his probe of the counterintelligence operation that targeted Trump. And then we all go forward together and let the best man or woman win. And it scared me. And not because it's the most asinine, ridiculous nonsense I've ever heard in my entire damn life, ever. But because everybody thought it was nonsense. Everyone. For diametrically opposed reasons.
Yeah, no, the reality has been split. There are multiple. I've been told before that the reason, the explanation of ghosts is that there's a frequency, a light frequency bleed over. It's almost like if you want to tune into 92.3 FM and you put on 92.4 FM and you kind of hear 92.3, but it comes over into your reality in little weird blurry mm-hmm, ways. Mm-hmm. We are living in split fractions of reality.
No, it's completely true. It's not hyperbole what you're saying. Literally two different timelines. I'm not kidding. One timeline where, you know, we believe the truth and the facts are on our side, right? The people that are opposed to us believe so just as strongly.
Yeah, we're walking on this earth with just a legion of ghosts around us. Ghosts. I mean, you can interact with some. You don't want to, but they're all. It's very weird.
It frightened me because it kind of tells me how close to collapse we are. No matter what ends up happening, like I know it's just Twitter, but this is 30,000 Twitter comments. Okay, it's not like a small sample size. It's a very large sample size here. And it's literally split down the middle. Like, it's not all conservatives saying, you know, what are you crazy? But what happened is he did another tweet after he got destroyed. And it said, okay, I get that the left doesn't want peace. Then fasten your seatbelts. Mark my words, before this is over, many of your heroes will be profoundly diminished.
Well, that's good. At least he knows what's going on.
Well, so he does. See, he does know.
But if he knows the truth, then why the hell would he ever think that a compromise would be even if one is a non-crime that was thrown into the public sphere by the same people he knows if they were investigated would be the culprits of that and much more? How would that ever be even? Why would you ever give that type of criminality a pass?
That's exactly my point. And it's stunning to me that he could even contemplate washing that away. You know, there is no way that we move forward as a country until this is fixed. It needs to be fixed.
I got a little bit of criticism for this stance I took a couple of months ago on this show. But the only way that we have a chance of actually moving forward from anything is if we have a little bit of a divorce. And I'm not talking about breaking up the entire union, but definitely putting our foot down on federalism and that there is no real relationship between each. I mean, every state is their own situation and there is no everybody walk in one direction.
Yeah,
we need to restore what was there.
What made us beautiful to start with.
I know, but it's going to. But that reality, that the sovereignty of the states, that reality in stark contrast to where we are right now would feel like a divorce, almost like the union be broken apart because the federal government really needs to be destroyed. And that means everybody's Social Security's got to go away. All of it needs painful. To go away.
Painful. Painful for people. But yeah,
it's going to be painful, but it's the only way that this could ever be fixed.
So scary. Makes me sad.
I'm excited for it. You ready? Honest.
You better become more than a novice with your Second Amendment then.
Oh, I know. That's just the problem. But hey, it's either this or it's a really stark slavery. Ugh. It's slavery. Is this not slavery? Where even though you and I, when we get off the air right now, you can go and you can leave your house. You can go buy groceries. You can go wherever you want. You can go see a movie. I can technically do whatever the hell I want today with my day. I can take the day off. I cannot go to work tonight. Whatever I want to do, we can do what we want. But can we really escape all of this shit? Can we really escape it? No. No. No, because even if you say, oh, it's boring to me, I don't want to do it, I don't want to pay any mind to it, it's not real to me, fine. Somebody else is going to the voting booth, and whatever the hell results from that election is going to be passed down to you in the form of taxes and regulations and red tape and what you can and cannot do and all the hoops you have to jump through just to be able to rent a local park. You know,
yeah. Not even get started on that. That's it. Jeez, it's insane. You're right. I'm almost there. I don't even want to stay on it because I'm not there yet. I can't believe that was
his suggestion.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. I agree. George Papadopoulos. Two more things, real quick, before we close up the show for today. George Papadopoulos tweeted out this morning. This week, the first recently declassified spy documents will be released to the American public, including on Stefan Halper, quote, the walrus, I guess that's his name, his code name, and his attempted setup of both Flynn and me in London. UK was running the operations with the CIA. This was posted June 3rd at 6:43 a.m. my time, which would be 3:43 a.m. his time in California.
The walrus.
The walrus. And one more interesting tidbit that came out today. It appears as though, hold on, where is it? Where is it? The Prime Minister of Italy will be having a press conference today at 6:15, where he says he will be announcing some very important information.
I saw that. I retweeted it.
Yeah. Unexpected press conference. No one knows the contents, but he says, I have some very important things to tell you all. So keep your eyes peeled. I don't know if 6:15 is our time. I'd have to figure that out.
6:15 p.m. our time?
Yeah.
Wait, Italy time. 6:15 Italy.
Yeah. What it is our time, though. Like, what is the...
I think that the UK is 6 hours ahead. I'd have to imagine that Italy is going to be 7 or 8.
So that would be 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That would be noon. Noon on noon New York time.
Maybe. I don't say, hold on. What time is it in Italy right now?
It's 5:07 p.m. in Rome, Italy.
Yeah, see? It's an hour and 15 minutes away.
It's 5:07. Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's 11:07 a.m. right now. Everybody at home trying to do the math.
Well, I mean, they're going to be listening to this after the press conference airs.
Right. But just in case people want to know it's plus 6 hours. It's plus 6 hours.
Plus 6 hours. Okay. Makes sense. And that's it for today. Wow. That was probably the most packed show we've had in weeks.
Yeah. A lot going on.
Yeah. All right, well, you've been listening to the Dark Delight podcast with...
Monday Morning Val.
And this tweet is unavailable beans. This will not be an every week thing, I want to tell you guys. This was just a special thing for today. You guys can listen to us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on... What are you doing, Neil Evan?
Dark Delight podcast.
What?
On iTunes and...
Stitcher.
And tune in and Google Play.
Google Podcast changed.
Google Podcast.
And Radio Influence.
Hey, did you hear that iTunes getting rid of, Apple's getting rid of iTunes?
Well, they're not selling any music. What are they doing? They're just doing Apple Podcasts now?
No, I think just Apple Music.
Oh.
Because everything is going to streaming now. So as far as, I don't know, I can't imagine that they're going to, there's nobody, you can still get a Winamp player and use that.
Winamp. Oh my gosh.
I know. But so I can't imagine that we're going to wake up one day and nobody's going to be able to actually use their iTunes. People have been uploading and burning all of their purchased music onto iTunes as a media player for years. So
it also backs up your iPhone.
Yeah. So I would have to imagine that is still going to be there. But as far as the commercial functionality of it, I think maybe that is what's going to be taken apart. But I pay $10 a month for Apple Music. That's how I I can. It's really actually convenient, especially if it's linked up to your car. I got the Apple.
I have that too.
The CarPlay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool. CarPlay is great. I use YouTube Red, so I use YouTube Music.
Oh, okay. I have the YouTube as well.
Yeah, it used to be Red, and now it's something else. They changed it, but I got in really early. So, and then I got the family plan so that Helga and my son and my husband can all watch ad free YouTube. And just so that everybody knows, if you do get the YouTube subscription and you watch a video, the person still gets ad revenue from that click. That's the only place I really make any ad revenue on YouTube anymore, from the click from Red, because. Whatever. Anyway, but that's it for today.
That's it.
We will see you on Wednesday.
See you then.
This is a Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor and welcome to Duffified Live for this week. We're talking about the host from Meat Life, a man who knows more about meat than you could ever imagine. We're talking about Nick Solaris.
15 years ago, I was the guy disrupting the thing by blogging, right? When the old print guys were like, no, we are the authority here, right? Now the digital guys that have been reviewing restaurants are like, who are these Instagram influencers? You know, well, they're kind of the new school, right? And look, I'm not saying that it's not necessarily the same thing. Food writing is a craft, right? It's something that you get better at. You work at it every day. And an Instagram influencer is not a food writer or even a food blogger. They're their own thing. Like that's broadcasting versus, you know, actual literary criticism of some kind. And I think the two can coexist, and I think the two can benefit each other.
Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.